At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final to start off this new week, bright and early on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We set the stage for the end of week number two around the National Football League regular season. Tonight in Philadelphia, it's the Eagles and the Falcons on Monday Night Football. We will continue our game breakdown here to start off this segment. We'll get the injury perspective, the insight, and the analysis from Dr. David Chow in our next segment together. The prop perspective later on in this third and final hour, and some picks and best bets for you before we go. DRS, let's hear from the people before we really dive into anything here around Monday Night Football to see what the public is thinking when it comes to Monday night. What is the best bet for Monday Night Football between the Eagles and the Falcons? That was the question to all of you in Fade the Public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, what is the best bet for Monday Night Football? Hashtag NFL, hashtag betting X, at Ryside VP, at Ben Scott Steve. They got to stop leaving out the T, especially when it comes to a Philadelphia poll where Mr. Philadelphia, Mr. South Jersey, can integrate a whole new audience if he is able to see it. Were you able to splash the Riz Twiz on the Fade the Public poll without being properly tagged?
Yeah, when we say like to reach out to the people, one of the people certainly isn't me to reach out to because I just found it right now and hit the retweet on it, and my Philly brethren would have loved to jump in. So instead of maybe a couple hundred votes, maybe this would be pushed over a couple hundred more than what we've already have. So me just seeing the poll here, fantastic. Eagles, Falcons side, over, under as a certain side. So, look, I'm going to participate in this poll. I just voted on it. Now we're seeing the numbers start to move with the retweet. We just got five more votes here in the past couple seconds. And for my money, 17%ers I'm with here, BSS. I went under 46.5. You say, Donnie, well, you know you like the Philadelphia Eagles. You think they're going to win that football game. But there's a reason why that number went from 6.5 to 5.5. I do think the Falcons will be better than they were on opening day. On offense, that's going to be the question mark. On defense, I know they're pretty decent. You got that secondary back there. And also, that's a massive loss. You lose a top five wide receiver from your lineup. I understand you have Devonta Smith. He's fantastic. Maybe you're hoping Jahan Dotson steps up here. But that's going to hurt. That's that big play weapon that you're taking away where now the defense, who does have some pretty good cornerbacks, can roll coverage to Devonta Smith. I like the under best of the bets tonight here for me.
A lot of people back in the birds, that being the Eagles, laying 5.5, 53% of the votes on Philadelphia. Then it's the Falcons as the dog, the under for the game. The one I voted for, DRS, is actually the least selected by the public. That's over 46.5. I'm not sure I'm going to bet it. And here's why I say that. I want Atlanta to be the scoring offense that we expected them to be earlier in the offseason with the acquisition of Kirk Cousins, with Bijan Robinson, with the talented core around him, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, maybe a resurgence, and a couple of other offseason acquisitions like Darnell Mooney. Atlanta was going to be a team that I had circled in the offseason as an overbet a lot when it came to the point output, 18-10. last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You would think, though we saw a lot of points in Sao Paulo, Donnie has brought up the point, the field conditions a little bit dicey and slidey there, that Atlanta would be able to score tonight against Philadelphia. The Eagles still have some questions to answer in that secondary. Could it be a ripe scenario for Kirk Cousins, who put up more than 360 yards in the Week 2 primetime spot against the Birds a season ago, throwing for four touchdowns as a member of the Vikings? So, DRS, let's dive even deeper then and look at the props. Kirk Cousins passing yards number, 224 and a half. Jalen Hurts, 230 and a hook. How do you compare these two quarterbacks entering Monday night?
Yeah, I'm not in love with either one of these, but if I were to say who's probably more likely to go over their total, I'm probably going to lead to Jalen Hurts at that 230 and a half. The reason being here is the Philadelphia Eagles last week, again, you have to remove that. There was unfair conditions for both the defending teams here. We'll see if they step back up. But you did have a couple of cornerbacks last week that were beat up that should be back in the lineup tonight for the Eagles. Also, Devin White, starting linebacker, who you thought in the offseason was their big acquisition, ended up getting beat out by N'Kobe Dean, but he missed game number one with an injury. He's back in this game. So I do think the Eagles will be much more formidable, which means, Ben, that pass rush is going to get home on Kirk Cousins. And as we know, Kirk Cousins doesn't look like he's 100% not firing on all cylinders. No. Do I think the Pittsburgh Steelers overall have a better defense than the Philadelphia Eagles? Yes, I do. But the Atlanta Falcons were embarrassing on opening day. The only bright spot was Bijan Robinson. But if we're just focusing on the quarterbacks here for total prop markets, like rushing props, you're not looking at Kirk Cousins to run the football. You might be looking at Jalen Hurts to do that. Passing props here, I still think decent enough weapons on the outside where the Eagles can expose some things here on that Falcons defense, even though I do think the Falcons defense is better this year than it was last year. But I'm more apt to vote and bet on Jalen Hurts than I would on Kirk Cousins tonight.
155 yards for Cousins in his Atlanta debut last week against the Steelers. We know Pittsburgh is a good defense. T.J. Watt was wreaking havoc all day long against that ATL offensive line. But 155 yards, 16 of 26, a touchdown, and two interceptions, including an INT thrown in the final 3 minutes of the game as Atlanta had the ball down by five, trying to score and win and into Pittsburgh territory. Kirk did not look right. He turned 36 back in August. And unlike Aaron Rodgers, who tore his Achilles four offensive plays into the 2023 campaign, Kirk Cousins was injured after playing eight games in that ninth game of the year for Minnesota. Less of a time to respond and come back. Again, we'll hear from Dr. Chow in just a moment. That will be my main question for Monday night. But DRS, on the ground, we should see a couple of great do-it-all backs tonight. Saquon Barkley, three touchdowns in his Eagles debut in Brazil. Bijan Robinson did not score, but had more than 110 scrimmage yards, was really that main bright spot for the Falcons offensively in a rather porous offensive performance in the season opener. If you're going to look for the prop perspective tonight, a lot of focus will be on the two backs.
Love them both. Love them both tonight, Ben, because if we're looking at pretty strong secondaries on both sides here, that's the way that you're going to want to go. And particularly, you know, what sticks out a lot is Bijan Robinson, 64 and a half rushing yards. You saw the Green Bay Packers torch the Philadelphia Eagles defense. But again, cause for food for caution here. You can't actually take that Green Bay game and say, you know what, they're going to be able to do the same things that they did, because you couldn't block, you couldn't hold your blocks at that point, so you remove that. But if we are looking at more of a ground game here, I'll let both of these guys. And also, my goodness, man, the touchdown props, where were the days where everybody was at least plus money, or like the favorite on the board was a plus 100 to score a touchdown?
Gracious,
minus 185 and minus 125, you can tell where the public wants to go. If you're looking at who's going to score tonight, Bijan. And here's what I love, too, about Bijan Robinson game number one. Remember last year, Ben, you draft a running back in the top 10. He's like, why is he splitting carries with Tyler Algier? Nothing against Algier. Sure. He's a quality running back. But you saw that separation finally in game number one. 18 carries to three. Bijan is the lead dog. Love to see it. And of course, on Philadelphia, it's Saquon Barkley. I don't think we have to worry about, like, I can't believe they keep handing the football to the backup here. Those two guys are going to toe it tonight. And I think both of them can score touchdowns. But you know where I love them, Ben? I love them in that receiving market, man. 30 and a half. And also, you dip down here to Saquon Barkley at 17 and a half. Man, that's one or two screen passes, and away we go tonight.
23 yards receiving for Saquon Barkley in week number one. Now, to your point about the anytime touchdown prop for Bijan Robinson, again, he did not score last week in Atlanta's opener. They only put up 10 points, so I guess that makes sense. He had five targets and five grabs for 43 yards receiving. but he only had 4 rushing touchdowns last year in his rookie campaign. 4 receiving scores, had 1 receiving touchdown in the final 4 games for the Falcons. He doesn't necessarily have the touchdown pay dirt price pedigree that Saquon Barkley does, and yet he is a minus money number to score. Maybe that should lead us to believe that Bijan will cash that number. We'll get the prop perspective with Tom Vecchio in our second half hour of this third and final hour. Up next, it's the injury analysis and insight with the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow. Come back and join us after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 2 of the 2024 NFL regular season, and we always provide the injury analysis and insight on a Monday following a busy Sunday slate, and there's a lot to get to, so we are very pleased to have the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, with us here on this Monday on the Early Line. You can see the great work that he and his team are doing at Sports Injury Central. That's SIC or SIC Central, SICScore.com, excuse me, as we get things going here in this NFL season. Dr. Chow, thank you for joining us here on the Early Line.
Thanks for having me. Yep, 6Score is what it is.
6Score.com. All right, Dr. Chow, the big news on this Monday morning, tweeted out in the last half an hour from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Isaiah Pacheco injured yesterday in the marquee matchup against the Bengals, left the stadium in a walking boot and on crutches. The initial tests are saying it is a fracture to his fibula. What does this mean for Pacheco's future this year in 2024?
Well, we got a lot of good injury analysis this weekend. This one, I have to be honest, I didn't see by video to be an ankle fracture, right? And now there's reports of ankle fractures, but we don't delete tweets. Now, the latest report from Adam Schefter is they need an MRI to confirm whether it's a fibular fracture or is there a ligament or something else. Stadium x-rays are usually very diagnostic for fractures. Perhaps it's a hairline non-displaced fracture or it's a ligament. So I guess if you can't tell by stadium x-rays, maybe people don't hate on me too much for not being able to tell off a video. But in any case, not seeing this as a season ender, it's going to cost them a lot of time likely, but the Chiefs could get him back for a late season playoff run.
Doc, we all saw the major concussion that Tua Tagovailoa did suffer in that primetime game against the Bills. It's not so much about when he's going to come back, Doc, but can you tell us what's the process that Tua Tagovailoa is going through from the game itself till today on some of those tests and also how they determine when he could possibly be cleared?
Well, to me, there's no doubt he's going to see multiple neurologists or neurosurgeons and get lots of good opinions. It's hard to say. Every concussion, you could argue, is a major concussion. No two concussions are the same. Certainly he got hit by DeMar Hamlin, but he also hit the back of his head on the turf. And you guys are showing the pictures and images right there. And this is arguably his 5th concussion in 5 years, 1 in college, 2 diagnosed, but you can argue 3 in 2022, and now this one. Is this career threatening? Absolutely. Every single concussion can be said to be that. But with 5 and 5 years, it is career threatening. Is he going to come back in 1 or 2 weeks? No. It's going to need a longer absence. Is this career ending? Not necessarily. If symptoms linger, it indeed will be career ending. If symptoms go away quickly, then he may have a chance to go back. Let him determine that. The posturing, the fencing doesn't really relate to the seriousness of it, even though it looks bad to the general public. And note, he's not the highest number of concussions in the league. We focus on Tua because of the controversy in 2022. And, of course, he's a quarterback, premier position. But Mitch Morris, now with the Jaguars Center, with the Buffalo Bills before, has 6 documented concussions in his NFL career. Pat Freiermuth has had 3 in his first young early career at tight end. So it remains to be seen, and it will be an individual decision along with the doctors.
Really good medical information there and the process of what is happening behind the scenes for Tua Tagovailoa and Miami. Tua telling NFL media over the weekend he has no plans to retire. It will be his decision along with his loved ones and his family. Dr. Chow, early in this year, there might not be a banged-up team more than that of the LA Rams. Yesterday on the road in Arizona, they got beat bad, 41-10. And with Puka Nacua on injured reserve, many offensive linemen already dealing with injury. Cooper Kupp exits the game early as well. What is the field view or the six score overall of the LA Rams saying on this Monday?
Well, look, Cooper Kupp rolled his ankle. We're hoping it's not serious, an eversion ankle sprain, a different type of high ankle sprain. We'll see if he can come back or not. The only silver lining for the Rams is they're about to get their left tackle back. And that's the only silver lining. The whole left side of the offensive line has been out and a disarray with the center sliding over, et cetera. That's why we have two favorite games this week at six score. And we don't handicap games. We just do it off of field view and do the analysis. Our two favorites were the Arizona Cardinals, and the other one was the Minnesota Vikings. Even though in our own war room, we were nervous about the Vikings against the 49ers. That's what our numbers said, and it bore out.
Doc, six score has been hot here, and we got a big Monday Night Football game with some injury concerns. Number one for the Philadelphia Eagles, got A.J. Brown at the wide receiver position. And also, Doc, let us know, are we healthy at the quarterback position for the Atlanta Falcons with Kirk Cousins?
Well, we're healthy enough to play. Are we 100%? That's the question. If you ask me, is he 100% on the Achilles? It's his back foot push off. No, neither is Aaron Rodgers, but they're able to play and be effective. I think it's still more scheme and new system than that. And the question now with A.J. Brown already ruled out for the Eagles, what does this really mean? You know, is there a domino effect in how the coverage changes on Devonta Smith? Obviously, you got Johan Dotson, who's relatively new still. Is there a domino effect without the bell cow, A.J. Brown, being in there? I think he's a mild hamstring, but early season, the Eagles didn't want to make it worse. So that'll be what's interesting to watch there.
You see the field views for tonight in that perspective. That is key. That's at sixscore.com. Dr. Chow, just quickly here in the final minute. Last week on Monday night, Aaron Rodgers in Santa Clara, we asked you about the veteran quarterback coming off a torn Achilles. Same question for the 36-year-old Kirk Cousins. You mentioned he is healthy enough to play. How does he develop and get healthier throughout the season as he's still playing in NFL regular season games?
Well, you know, obviously there's still lots of training room stuff and workouts, and, you know, it's a gradual process. But I really think the concern is just scheme and getting used to what's happening there. If you really get down to it, how many tight window throws does a quarterback make in a game? It's more about feel and timing and throwing to the right spot. Yeah, the tight window throws may lack in a little bit of accuracy because of push off, but overall, I think he could still have a good game here.
First year in Atlanta, first year with new offensive coordinator Zach Robinson as well. The Pro Football Dog, Dr. David Chow, we appreciate your time. MLB Handicap next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie's favorite segment of the day. We break down some Major League Baseball on this Monday. Just 2 weeks remaining in this MLB regular season. About 12, 13 games left for every team around the big. So if you are in the hunt for October, these games are highly, highly significant. Tonight, the fourth and final game in Atlanta between the Dodgers and the Braves of this now extended weekend set. Will the Dodgers be able to split? Can Atlanta take 3 of 4 against Los Angeles? A good pitching matchup on paper. Yoshi Yamamoto and the Dodgers, a slight road favorite against Max Fried and the Braves. Total at 7.5. What do you like tonight in the ATL?
Yeah, we take a look at Yamamoto coming back to the mound. Not a lot of extensive work just yet, so they're trying to sort of stretch him out, Ben, right? You want to get 3 to 4 innings in, then 4 to 5 in, then 5 to 6. So come playoff time, you'll be able to be a dominant starter. And maybe we can get that. But if we're looking at season-long numbers, Yamamoto's been fantastic. The one thing we know about the Atlanta Braves, sometimes their hitting can be questionable at best. They do line up decently against right-handed pitching, but really the focus is going to be that lineup for the Los Angeles Dodgers. That, by the way, last 30 days against left-handed pitching, which Max Fried will be on the mound for, they've been sensational. Outside of Freddie Freeman, who's a lefty, Miguel Rojas, everybody else been in that lineup for the past month, positive ISO power number and positive weighted on base percentages here. But if you line up Max Fried, his last 30 days, 128 batters he's faced, how about a 127 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 291? He has been really good. So for my money tonight, I think you're taking a look at the Dodger pitcher on the mound. Give me 5 to 6 innings there of quality baseball. I think Fried can hold down those Dodgers bats, which I told you have been very good against left-handed pitching. I do think we stay under 7.5. I don't think we get 8-plus runs tonight in a playoff-type atmosphere.
The Braves, an ever-so-slight underdog at home. They are tied for the third and final National League wildcard spot alongside the New York Mets. The Amazons at home, they start a long homestand for the next 7 days this week. Tonight against the Nationals, Sean Manaea on the bump. They're nearly a $2 home favorite. Must win for New York. We'll see if the Braves can take this extended weekend set over L.A. The Dodgers now looking up by 2 games at the Philadelphia Phillies. The Dodgers still in front of the Brewers, though, for what would be that first round bye out of the wild card round. Milwaukee at home, they host Philadelphia. Philly, first, the best record in the National League. The Brewers with a double-digit lead for the National League Central. Third best mark in the NL. And now, an even pick 'em at minus 108 on both sides tonight in Wisconsin. Who wins?
Yeah, Phillies back-to-back winners here coming back. Now you're going to go on the road. You got Ranger Suarez in the mound. You're hoping he comes back to the form we saw over the first couple months of the season. But the focal point is going to be Aaron Civale on the mound here for the Milwaukee Brewers. You look at his seasonal numbers, about average. ISO power number 188 against weighted on base percentage against 333. He said it's doable, but over the last 60 days to 30, actually, you know what? Forget it, 60 days. Let's just go 30 days. 86 batters he's faced, Ben. 167 ISO weighted on base percentage of 261. That's going to be good. Against right-handed batters, he's faced 48 of those over the past month, a 143 ISO and a 269 weighted on base percentage. The Phillies haven't necessarily been hot over the past couple weeks at the plate. This game, again, I think this one stays under because you're still looking at the Phillies are going to the playoffs. The Brewers are going to the playoffs. But as you pointed out, the Phillies want to stay clear of the Los Angeles Dodgers. You take a look at Milwaukee. They want to chase down the Los Angeles Dodgers. So I think we get an under here and a pretty competitive game.
We will see tonight in Wisconsin two teams that had a great weekend. San Diego sweeping San Francisco. The Padres comfortably in that top NL wildcard spot. Houston sweeping the Angels, as one would hope. They now lead the American League West again by 4.5 games over Seattle. They face off tonight in San Diego. The Padres will throw out Yu Darvish. Spencer Arrighetti on the other side for the Astros. Another pretty low total at 7.5. San Diego, a home favorite. What do you like?
I'm going to flip the script. Let's go over in this game. The reason I say that is Spencer Arrighetti is on the mound. He's been much better over the past couple months than he did to start the season, which should help. But if you're looking at that Padres lineup against right-handed pitching, Ben, 6 positive batters with ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages. Let's flip this over to Yu Darvish on the mound. You want to see him be that dominant pitcher that we saw over the past, let's just say, 5 to 10 years. That could really help San Diego. But his last 30 days back coming off the IL, they haven't been great. Also, that Houston lineup. First 6 batters, 160 ISO, 266, 214, 571, 171, and 289 respectively against right-handed pitching over the past month. So typically in a pitcher's ballpark and also in a playoff-type atmosphere, I usually lean towards the under. We're going to go over 8 runs tonight, see if we can get some contrarian action late night.
More history for us in MLB today. It's Skeens Day XXI. That's Paul Skeens Day number 21 in the history of MLB. The Pirates, a road favorite in St. Louis. Skeens, 10-2 with a 2.10 ERA this year. He's still been darn good. The prop perspective on this Monday with Tom Vecchio next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football to end out week number two of the 2024 NFL season. It's a prop perspective here on this Monday with Sports Grids, Tom Vecchio. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Monday. Excited to dive in to Monday Night Football in Philadelphia between the Eagles and the Falcons with you.
Yeah, let's get things going. We have an interesting game. This is the third straight season that Kirk Cousins is playing the Eagles in week two, which is a little bit bizarre. It's primetime Kirk. Injuries on the Eagles side with A.J. Brown not playing. We want to see a bounce back, or at least I want to see somewhat of a bounce back from the Falcons offense overall. Let's dive in.
Philadelphia, 5.5-point home favorite tonight, Tom, to end out this second week of the NFL season. 46.5 is that over under. We always use the numbers to inform what we expect the game to look like tonight. Are we going to see some points? Will the offensive numbers be up there? Will Atlanta keep this game closer than the odds makers expect? Vecchio, what do you think Monday Night Football looks like in Philly?
I think we are in for a slow start, and I think a live over 41.5 or 42 is probably the best spot to go. So 5.5, I think, is spot on. Again, if we can get that at 3 for the Eagles, I'd be significantly more interested in that. You know, the Falcons didn't look good in week one, but so a lot of teams didn't look good in week one. And, you know, the Eagles with a little bit extra rest, I want to say one of the key things I'm going to be focusing in on is, will their offensive line smooth out some of the issues that they had? You know, the snaps weren't 100% clean in week one, but they had that extra time. Can they get that under control, and can they put the offense in a great spot? And then for the Falcons, a slow game, like I said, outside of Robinson, where are we going to see production from the Falcons, and will they be able to exploit at least some of the issues that we saw with the Eagles secondary from week one?
It should be fun to watch it play, because we're still in week two mode, where yesterday we watched the majority of teams close out their week two. Who's good, who's bad, who bounced back from week number one. We don't necessarily have that. And also, it's two tough performances, Tom, as you said, really, to grade. Atlanta's week one performance on offense is Kirk Cousins healthy. What's going to take place? They played a very good Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Then the Philadelphia Eagles on that ice skating rink down in Brazil. Are they really this bad on defense stopping the run, or were they able to get off blocks? We'll find out. But let's get to the quarterback equation of this. Jalen Hurts versus Kirk Cousins. If we're looking at the passing props here, Jalen Hurts currently listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 229. Kirk Cousins just below him at 224. If you look at the passing touchdowns, obviously both of them at 1.5, but juiced to the plus. Plus 122 for Hurts, and for Kirk Cousins, plus 148. Which quarterback are you looking at tonight with possibility of some props, Tom?
It wouldn't surprise me if Hurts has a good game but still hits the under on his touchdown prop, just because they're going to get to the red zone. They don't have that big target with A.J. Brown. Not to say there aren't options in the passing offense that I like for a touchdown. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But I wouldn't be surprised if he hits the under and he rushes one in, and Saquon rushes one in, and he has one passing touchdown. So I'm a little bit hesitant when it comes to that passing number for the touchdowns, at least. For Kirk Cousins, I think the yards are probably the spot to be going. If they fall behind, they're going to be put into a passing game script. They gave him all this money for a reason. They gave it to him because they need a boost in offense. They have a completely new offensive scheme, a new OC, new head coach, et cetera, et cetera. So let's kind of flex that. And we saw some of the big plays by the Packers receivers in week one. They have some of that talent with Drake London. So if they can show that, that'll put Kirk Cousins in a good spot to hit the over. I don't want to talk about primetime Kirk and his inability to cover, win games, whatever it might be. I think the stats will be there for Kirk Cousins tonight. Whether they come away with the win, I'm not so sure about.
It is interesting, Vecchio, because you do mention three consecutive years for Kirk Cousins in week two in a primetime spot in Philadelphia. Of course, the prior two with the Vikings. 2 years ago in 2022, it was not a good game for Minnesota or Kirk. Philly won that game 24-7. Kirk Cousins had three interceptions. Last year, the Vikings technically covered by the hook in a high-scoring game, 34-28. Minnesota 6.5-point underdog. He threw for 364 yards and four touchdowns. So outside of the quarterbacks, let's go to their backfield mates and Bijan Robinson and Saquon Barkley. Both guys putting up more than 110 scrimmage yards in week number one. Saquon scored three times, two rushing, one receiving. Bijan did not find pay dirt, as Atlanta only scored 10 in a season opening loss against Pittsburgh. When you look at these two, who can do it all? What gets your main attention?
Honestly, the over for both of them when it comes to combined rushing plus receiving, and I think it fits the game script kind of regardless of what happens. We know the Eagles are going to be without A.J. Brown, and if they want to run the ball a little bit more and or they're ahead, that just plays into Saquon having a ton of carries and controlling the clock, and he piles up yards because he's awesome, and they're just going to be moving the ball. And if we see Robinson, they fall behind, he's going to have his rushing attempts, which gives him a good baseline. But then the receiving work from him, I think, can be very interesting. We didn't see a whole lot of it from Josh Jacobs in week one, but Robinson does play a good role. His receiving prop is sitting at 4.5 receptions, so he's going to be playing a role in the receiving game. So again, a combined over for either of them, if you just have a side that you want to, oh, you think the Falcons cover and you just want to roll with Robinson, totally fine. I'm on board with that. And if you think the Eagles roll and they're out and ahead and Saquon just has a big game because of that, I think that's totally fine as well. I don't think there's really a wrong way to go about at least the backfield tonight.
With A.J. Brown out brings up a lot more opportunities on the Philadelphia Eagles side to try to buy low at that position. Devontae Smith, who last week here, before we got the news that A.J. Brown was going to miss this game, was hovering around the 60-yard mark. He was actually as high as 73.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook this morning, back to 71.5. Drake London, 57.5 here for Atlanta. A couple tight ends, Pitts and Goddard, 41 and 43.5 respectively here. And also, Jahan Dotson. Didn't see much work in week number one. Looks like he's going to be thrust into that starting role at 27.5. How are you approaching the receiving props here, Tom, tonight?
When it comes to receiving, I have a position on Smith already for a touchdown of plus 170. I got that on Saturday when there was the first news that A.J. Brown was listed as questionable. Always jumping on the news early. I would also like him over his longest reception, sitting at 23.5. 11 out of 16 games last year, he had a reception of at least 21 yards. So that's the first spot. They traded for Jahan Dotson for a reason. So there is some relative coach speak, team speak, GM speak, whatever you want to call it, that they want to get him involved. So seeing him hit an over wouldn't surprise me. I think Dallas Goedert has to be the most interesting option of that bunch. His touchdown odds are sitting at plus 200, plus 210, wherever it might be. Yeah. We can certainly look there. The yards, I think, have to be the most interesting because if we're seeing at least some defensive adjustments from the Falcons to take away Smith in certain circumstances, you know, worrying about Jahan Dotson may not be an every play thing for them, and that leaves that safety blanket for Dallas Goedert. So there's an opportunity for all three of the receivers to have a big game. I don't think it'll be all three. I think it'll come down to Smith for a touchdown and Goedert for the yards.
When you see Dallas Goedert, 43.5, of course, if we talk tight ends, we got to look at the other side for the Falcons. It's year number four with Kyle Pitts. Since he was drafted fourth overall in 2021, we have asked the question, is Kyle Pitts going to be what we expected out of Florida? With the acquisition of Kirk Cousins and the expected uptick in offensive production, a lot of people said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We're not getting fooled again. We're going to Kyle Pitts this year with Kirk. Does it finally happen starting week two, Vecchio, between Pitts and Cousins tonight in Philadelphia?
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt that it started in week one when he had the touchdown. I think they need to make a more conscious effort to get Drake London involved. So while I'm very high on Kyle Pitts, as I have him on my most important dynasty team for the past 4 years, I'm waiting for him to break out. I'm not sure if it's going to be this game. I think that they need to get Drake London more involved. And, you know, as I'm going to continuously say, we saw Reed and Dobbs break off these big plays last week, and that should be the point of emphasis to get Drake London, their best receiver, the ball. So get him the ball. I'm going with Pitts under 41.5. I just don't know if he plays a massive, massive role. And if the pass rush can get after Kirk Cousins, that's where Robinson will come into play out of the backfield with the low A-dot passes because Kirk Cousins won't have a lot of time to drop back and find deep targets.
Vecchio, quickly here, 40 seconds left. The outlook for both of these teams, they entered the year as divisional favorites. Philly feeling good in the NFC East. Atlanta facing a potential 0-2 start. Looking at the Saints and the Bucs starting 2-0. What do you make of the outlook for the Falcons?
If you want to buy in on the Falcons, it actually might be a good idea to wait till after the game. If they lose this game, their odds will be a little bit longer. You buy in then. You don't think the Saints and the Bucs continue to roll, and then you get back in on Atlanta at that point. But it's a little bit of wait and see for the Falcons on where they're going to look overall.
Vecchio, we'll see you tonight getting ready for Monday Night Football on Sports Grid. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on this Monday to set up the end of week number two, the Monday night finale in Philadelphia. He is Donnie. I am Ben. The Birds, that being the Eagles, a 5.5-point home favorite tonight. Total of 46.5 against Atlanta. DRS, it was a week for the underdog in the early window on the Sunday slate. We saw three teams booked as at least a 6.5-point underdog win outright. In fact, so far this season, teams that have been booked as a 6-point underdog or greater are a perfect 8-0 against the spread. You see six there. It's live 5.5 now in favor of Philly. All to say, is this game more competitive than the rather lofty spread in the Birds' favor would indicate?
Oh, it will be. No doubt about it. And also, by the way, a little bit of action at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, dragging that price down to 45.5 as a total within the past couple minutes. So I think a lot of people are looking at this game saying we might be hunkered in to a defensive struggle, which is kind of crazy. Open up the year. What did we love about Atlanta? It wasn't necessarily the defense. Hey, Kirk Cousins, good quarterback, some weapons down there. And the Philadelphia Eagles with one of the most talented offense pound for pound in the NFL, particularly at the skill positions. Now we're talking about the 47.5 down to 45.5. Make it make some sense, right? And also, the Eagles coming in well-rested here off of a performance in Brazil. And then you see Atlanta last week playing on last Sunday, now getting to the Monday. So we shouldn't be healthy enough in this game with A.J. Brown down. But it still leads me, like, I think the under should be the right play in this game. But also, sometimes there's value if it continues to go down, because the hot button right now is on those unders. There are weapons on both sides here and a lot of question marks on each side. Are the Atlanta Falcons healthy? Was last week Kirk Cousins playing coy? Can he stand up in the pocket? Is he going to struggle because it's a Monday night primetime game? Those will be answered. We have two dynamic backfields with Bijan Robinson and Saquon Barkley. You still have talented wide receiver and Drake London. He's young and unused so far this season. Kyle Pitts also talented. And then you take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Heisman Trophy winner still left at wide receivers, and you brought in Jahan Dotson and still have Dallas Goedert in a quality offensive line. And we're not asking about 53.5, 54.5. It's 45.5 now. That's very manageable in this spot. For me, I do think the Eagles win, but I'm not as excited to lay the points here until we actually see it. As Tom Vecchio brings up, it's a great point. FanDuel Sportsbook, if you don't like what you see early on in the season, you can wait a quarter or two before you jump in and like an over and under or a side here. Because if Kirk Cousins opens this game and he's not really that good, they might get blown out. But if Kirk Cousins is average from the pocket and that Philadelphia Eagles pass rush, which didn't get home on that slippery turf, doesn't get home tonight, maybe has extra time to throw, and that could help. Because he had no time against the Pittsburgh Steelers, it looked like.
And you could do that with the crew, Pro Football Today, but tonight it's called NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day for Monday Night Football between the Falcons and the Eagles. Donnie Wrightside, Joe Lisi, and Kevin Walsh. Total working its way down. It was 46.5 just about an hour ago. The under had the hefty juice, which has moved it down to 45 and a hook, and the under still has the juice. I will be fascinated, Donnie, because I circled this game early in week two and said to myself, this is the time for the Falcons offense to be the scoring output team that we expected with the acquisition of Kirk Cousins. But just how healthy is Kirk? Last week, 16 of 26, 155 yards, a touchdown pass to Kyle Pitts. That was the only positive. Two interceptions, including as the Falcons were driving into Steelers territory, under 3 minutes remaining in regulation, down by just a single score. Trying to win the football game at home, he throws his second costly interception of the game. He's a 36-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles that he suffered in the ninth game last year for Minnesota, or the eighth game for Minnesota. Regardless, it's not the same timetable even for Aaron Rodgers, who was a little bit shaky and rusty on Monday night last week. Kirk Cousins, though, does have at least some experience in these spots, not just primetime. We'll talk primetime record in a second, but week two in a primetime game in Philadelphia. This will be the third straight year he has done so. The previous two with Minnesota, the Vikings lost by at least 6 points in Philly. Last year, Kirk threw for more than 360 and four touchdowns. Donnie, do you buy in at all to the primetime Kirk Cousins narrative? This will be his 33rd primetime start in his NFL career. He's 12-20 straight up. He is 3-10 outright on Monday Night Football.
Not necessarily. And here's why I say that. Because if you're just betting that, fine, it's a trend, you want to use it, go ahead. But he doesn't perform on primetime. Don't you usually get the primetime games because it's a really good competitor that you're going up against, and maybe you just didn't measure up against that team. So I like to take a look at things on an individual basis on a night-to-night, the way it moves here. But I do think, again, he's coming in as the underdog. Theoretically, he's supposed to lose this game, and he should not have as good a game as Jalen Hurts, because why, he's not the favorite, and he's on the road. And also, coming off of week one, the narrative would be different if they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 37-27, right? But they couldn't move the football, and partly was because we're worried about Kirk Cousins is healthy or not. So, of course, I always like to say, don't outsmart yourself tonight. Hey, I think he's going to have a great bounce. He might be able to do that, but what I saw in week number one, I'm going to need to see something much better in week number two to sort of press that lever down. So, for me in this game, I'm really looking at that depressed wide receiving market, particularly with the Philadelphia Eagles outside of Devontae Smith, tight end, as we talked with Tom. Dallas Goedert makes a lot of sense. We want to see if Jahan Dotson, 27.5 isn't much if you're a starting wide receiver in the NFL where Jalen Hurts is going to drop back probably 30-plus times tonight. He should be able to get his opportunities, and he's rightful saying, Howie Roseman's a general manager. Spent a third-round pick on this guy. Coach, you're going to use him here because you ain't going to make me look bad. So that's also one of those things. But also, running back position tonight, Saquon and Bijan, they need to be the cornerstones of your parlay market tonight. Those two guys will get a lot of work in, Ben, I believe.
And that was going to be my follow-up question, DRS. 17.5, Saquon Barkley's receiving yards prop. 30.5, the same number for Bijan Robinson. Combined rushing and receiving, 98 and a hook for Saquon. 101.5 for Bijan Robinson. Both guys over those two numbers. Saquon scored 3 times in Brazil. Bijan Robinson did not find pay dirt in week number one, and yet both heavily juiced to at least score 1 touchdown tonight.
Yes, and also, let's keep in mind, the tush-push didn't look good in Brazil because, A, you couldn't get footing here. So I'm interested to see how that works tonight. And also, did the Philadelphia Eagles sort of slow play that a little bit more? Saquon Barkley at home, first primetime game in an Eagles uniform, scored 3 touchdowns the week before. You can't tell me Saquon is not going to get a touchdown tonight in front of the home crowd. Absolutely, he gets that done tonight.
111 scrimmage yards for Bijan Robinson, 43 in the receiving category, 132 for Saquon Barkley in 3 total scores, 2 rushing, 1 receiving in the Sao Paulo opener against the Packers. DRS, we send you into the money line, my friend. Enjoy tonight on In Game Live. You and I will talk on what day? Thursday? I miss you during football season, man. College football thoughts next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line to round out this Monday. Monday Night Football ends out week number 2 of this NFL regular season. 5.5-point spread in favor of the Eagles in Philadelphia as they host the Falcons tonight. Total at 45.5. I might look like an idiot tomorrow. I still think I'm going to bet the over just because we want to see the offense out of Atlanta. And as Donnie mentioned before he left, it's not like we necessarily need 50-plus points, as maybe we expected that total to be ending out week number 2. It's the end of week 2. It's going to be the start of week number 4 in college football in just a few days. What a weekend slate we have Saturday, September 21st. 3 ranked versus ranked top 25 tilts after only a single one this previous Saturday. 4 ranked versus ranked games the entirety of the weekend, and that begins Friday night in Lincoln, Nebraska. The Huskers up by a spot in the AP Top 25. Illinois back inside the AP poll for the first time in 2 years. So now the Nebraska-Illinois game, known as Nebranois, is a ranked matchup. The Huskers, an 8.5-point home favorite in Memorial Stadium against the Illini. This is the first ranked versus ranked game between two teams inside the AP Top 25 in Lincoln, Nebraska since 2013. It is a sign of the times for the Huskers. They are 3-0 for the first time since 2016. Illinois also 3-0. The Illini barely missing out on a cover with the closing line of 21.5 points against Central Michigan at home, but they held the chips to only 9 points. When you look at Illinois in 2022, the last time the Illini were ranked, they were the best scoring defensive unit in the country, allowing just a tick more than 12 points per game. All 3 games under for Illinois. All 3 games under for a great defense in Nebraska. To begin, 43.5, a relatively low total for that marquee matchup on Friday night. Big Ten opener for both of these teams. Elsewhere on that Saturday slate, welcome to the SEC. It's a moment for an Oklahoma team at home in Norman. That's looked a little bit dicey. They didn't cover winning by 15 against Tulane on Saturday. They were a 13.5 point favorite. But this is a best test for Oklahoma, who remains at number 15 in the country, because enter Tennessee, the nation's best offense so far this year alongside Ole Miss. Tennessee scored 71 on Saturday night at home against Kent State, and Nico Iamileava barely played. Dylan Sampson on the ground for the Volunteers has looked really, really good. North of a touchdown in favor of Tennessee, who is now 22-9 against the spread when booked as a favorite since Josh Heupel took the reins in Knoxville. That's the start of the 2021 season. It's one of the five best cover percentages as a favorite in college football in the last 3+ years. You want to talk some market movement? Here you go. What a marquee matchup we have, from brand notoriety, from national relevance, from a Big Ten perspective, on Saturday inside the Big House in Ann Arbor. Michigan remains in the top 20. They do move down a slot after they beat Arkansas State 28-18, coming nowhere close to covering as north of a 20-point favorite. Davis Warren did not miss a pass, I guess you could say, on Saturday. A pass did not hit the turf. He was 11 of 14 with three interceptions. Three rushing scores, though, for the Maize and Blue. That was the positive after not a single rushing touchdown their opening 2 weeks. But you should notice that drastic market movement. Michigan, a 5.5-point home favorite to USC. When this line opened up in the summer months, it was the Wolverines as nearly a double-digit favorite, laying 9.5 against Southern Cal. The Trojans now near a touchdown favorite. USC had the week off after a strong start to the year, the victory over LSU in Las Vegas, a shutout over Utah State, 48-0. I thought Utah might shut out the Aggies in Logan on Saturday. Not the case. Utah State put up 21. Utah scored 38. We did not see Cameron Rising. Well, we see Cam Rising on Saturday for Utah's Big 12 opener in Stillwater against Oklahoma State. The Pokes, a short 2.5-point home favorite. This is going to be a great game. How will each of the running backs perform? How will Ollie Gordon II look against a strong Utah physical front? And keep an eye on Mekhi Bernard. That's the running back for the Utes. Oklahoma State has not been a good defense each of the past 2 years and has not been great this season so far. You look at what Arkansas did just a couple of weeks ago, nearly 700 yards of total offense. That does it for the early line on this Monday. Show returns tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, here on SportsGrid.